This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Right, and welcome into another edition of The Blitz, live here on Fan Run Radio, FM 107, AM 1340. Chance Collins with you this morning on a wet Friday morning. But hey, it's a Super Friday! It is baseball time in Tennessee. Glad that you could be with us. Thank you for tuning in, as always. Go over to fanrunradio.com. You can catch our live stream at the top. Click the link. You can follow the Periscope streams. See our smiling faces this morning on Facebook Live. Also, our Twitter stream. And as always, if you have your Fan Run Radio app, you can catch us there as well. Take us wherever you may go. Charlie Collier and my man GP3 back behind the booth. What's up, fellas? Super Friday.
What's up?
How you doing?
Fired up. Good to go.
You don't seem too fired up.
Are you sure? I'm a little rattled because I had a weird morning. I went all the way down to my truck in the parking lot, and I pulled my keys out of my pocket, and everything was on my keychain but the truck key.
What happened?
I don't know. I had to look for it for a while, and finally it was under my bed.
Not going to lie, when I saw that text from you, I thought you had a good old college boy Thursday night. Maybe just lost your keys.
Nope, been just there. A regular watching basketball and hockey Thursday night.
All right. Well, you found your keys. You made it here on time.
Somehow. That was miraculous.
That was, because I promise you, when I was standing in the door as I just walked in, I looked down and saw your text. Now, maybe I missed it.
I got here in 3 minutes.
Wow. Speed racer, go. You're a madman. GP3, how's your morning going?
It's going all right. Not too bad. I stayed up and watched some pretty good basketball games last night, so slept in a little today. But overall, not too bad. It's a weekend. It's Friday.
It's the weekend. Friday, gang. You made it once again. Thank you for making it with us. Hey, got a big slate to get to. Obviously, theme of the show is going to be a lot of baseball as we preview the baseball Vols taking on the Tigers in the Super Regional at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. First pitch tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.
So what are y'all's thoughts on the watch party? Like, would you think that would be, like, fun to go to, rather watch it at home?
I think it will be fun. Hell, we campaigned for it. I wouldn't mind going, depending on what the weather is like. Are we supposed to get some rain tomorrow? Is that the fear over the weekend?
Is it? Let's see.
No, we got some rain
today. If only we still had Rick and his fancy $5 weather app. There's a little storm cloud emoji on Saturday.
Yeah, I thought that maybe we might be dealing with some rain. I don't know. I think the watch party will be pretty good. Hey, man, if you're not able to go out to the game, it's probably the next best thing for, you know, those who want to experience the Super Regional and be immersed right in all the action. And Charlie said, the big orange block party is a go. That's right. It is a go for fans who were not able to secure tickets, want to be immersed in all the action, be right up there next to it all. The Big Orange Block Party is free. It's for all fans. Give you a little backstory on it. It'll feature a live big screen game broadcast, big games for kiddos, access to concessions, and more. The area opens Saturday at 4:30 and will open 2.5 hours prior to first pitch on Sunday and Monday if necessary. To accommodate the Big Orange Block Party, if you're worried about logistics, Pat Head Summit Road will be closed to vehicle traffic between Frat Row and Todd Helton Drive. So get out there if you want to support the team and you weren't able to get a ticket, head to the block party. Now, a lot of people kind of concerned. Seems like it might be very much so kid-friendly. A lot of people have been asking us, what about the booze there? We don't have any.
I would assume that they're going to sell alcohol because
they sell it in the stadium.
They sell it in the stadium, and they say concessions will be available, and they're not going to pass up the opportunity to sell you a can of beer for $9, $10.
Yeah, it seems like easy money.
I mean, that for the university. Pays for the Jumbotron, the big TV, and more.
The big inflatable big screen.
Yeah. The weather, by the way, does look beautiful. Looks absolutely beautiful. Tomorrow we got AM thunderstorms. Then those move out. We got like low 70s with a light breeze Saturday night. Sunday, 80s, partly cloudy. And Monday, hopefully we're not playing, but almost up to 90 and partly cloudy. So should be a nice weekend at Lindsey Nelson. The wind does not look like it's going to be a factor other than just a light breeze too. So that's good. I think
one of the biggest questions you asked Hickman on the way in here when you got here, do fans actually plan to attend this block party, or is it more convenient for you to sit at home on your big comfy couch, maybe in your man cave, watching on your big 70-inch or your 50-inch big screen? What do you say? 865-546-8200 if you want to share your thoughts with us. If you plan on going to the watch party, let us know. We'd love to hear how you feel about it going into it. I think that they had a pretty good turnout. I think it will, because I think a lot of people just want to be close to everything because this is something special. Tennessee has never hosted a Super Regional. This team feels like a team of destiny. Shall I say it? Yeah, I think they do. I've said it for a couple weeks now. It seems like backs against the wall. They always know how to answer. So I think the watch party would be pretty fun. Now, have you secured tickets yet, Charlie?
No, I have not. I'm really trying hard. It's been difficult. They haven't gotten low enough to buy one yet. The online, they're still $300, $400. If they get down under $200, I'll probably buy one. If not, I don't know if it's worth it to go and wait in line as early as you have to get there or not. I haven't decided.
Up to 2.5 hours before, right?
Yeah, I mean, to get a student ticket, I would think I would have to get there around noon.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about maybe people might be camping. Well, they're not letting people do that either.
Yeah, I saw that they're not letting you get there until 2.5 hours before, right?
Mm-hmm. They are being very strict upon that.
I mean, what are they going to do, though?
So is there going to be a line?
There's
going to
be a
line
to go run and get in line, I feel like.
Well, it's also a thing, like, yeah, they can say you can't camp out, but how can they stop you from, like, being next to the ticket office and sitting in your car for the 5 hours and, you know, setting you a little alarm, sleeping it off? I feel like if there's a will, there's a way, and a lot of people will find the way.
I mean, you're just going to see on a side street a line of people and then exactly 2.5 for, I mean.
It's a mad dash.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. I could just get there exactly 2 hours early and just be faster.
Yeah.
Or more physical.
I think you can be faster.
I think I can definitely be more physical.
Be more physical.
I'm not scared to.
Yeah, go in there and bow some people.
I'm not scared to start a fight with other students.
As they
tickets.
Say, throw your weight around. Let them know that you're here. So yeah,
it's just
fans,
mostly frat guys. I'm not scared of frat guys.
Fans interested in purchasing Super Regional tickets may begin forming a line no earlier than 2 p.m. That's right, no earlier than 2 p.m.
It's just absurd. to say that? Like, how are you possibly going to enforce that?
So we're looking at 5 hours prior. The game's at 7? Am I wrong?
Is it 4? No, that's 7. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. So
still 5 hours prior.
So 5 hours prior.
They should just give out the tickets earlier than 90 minutes before.
You'd think so.
Like, why make those people wait in that long of a line and when you could just give it to them earlier?
Especially, they're just standing room only tickets. Come on, people. What are we doing to each other? Well, GP3, you plan on going to the game? You going to sit back and watch on your comfy couch?
Nah, I'm going to hang back and watch it that way.
I feel you on that. Like I said, depending on the weather, I might go stop by the Big Orange Block Party just to see how it is, maybe get myself in the mood. But more than likely, I'm with you. I mean, not sitting in line for 5 hours. That's one thing for a damn standing room only ticket. They can have it.
Right.
I have much better views from my high definition TV.
Yeah, I mean, like right now I can't drink alcohol. It's just like a personal thing I'm doing for the time being.
Yeah.
So like going to this big block party just surrounded by other people, it'd be more tolerable, I guess, for me if I was able to have a couple beers while I was there. But can't drink. Might as well just stay back, enjoy my weekend. I run around all week. The weekend's kind of my time.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, know your worth, King. Know your worth.
You got a big weekend, right?
I do. We got the Super Regional, and then 6 in the morning. That's another thing. I'm probably just going to be sitting back because I got a lot of things to wrap up before I hit the air on Sunday, going on a jet plane, as Kanye said. Even that's right. Headed to Florida. To Tampa, so St. Pete area, pretty much. My friend lives in St. Pete, so I'll be in downtown St. Pete. But we will venture over to Tampa quite a bit, I'm sure. Be going to the casino. Hopefully win some big money.
Oh, man, casino.
Then I'm going to go in there and just walk in straight to the roulette table and put 100 on.
1,000.
23.
Whoa.
23 is what I hit big on.
1,000 on red. 1,000 on red.
I was thinking just put 100 on red or black. That's what I was thinking.
Well, 24 is my number.
Eight's my number if we're just throwing out whose numbers.
When I went to the casino in Mississippi a while back.
Biloxi or Tunica?
Tunica.
Nice.
I was walking out, had finished gambling for the night. I had extra like 10 bucks, just walked by the roulette table, threw it on 23 as I was leaving.
And it hit. Wow, how much does that pay you out?
Like 350, I think.
Yeah, it's a good hit when you get the exact number. Hey, maybe I'll have that same luck on my venture.
Play Pygo. Better play Pygo.
I don't know how to
play
it.
I'll teach you Pygo.
Like, can you teach me in, like, a day?
Yeah, I can.
I don't feel like that's not responsible gambling.
It's a simple game.
When I learned how to play craps, I knew how to play craps streets. But when I learned how to play on the table game, I mean, everyone played some craps in the hallway as a kid, you know, teenager. But when I learned how to play, you know, table game craps at a casino, I went to a seminar. I was in Vegas. And I want to know how to play craps so badly because that's where you can make some quick, fast money. People make big money. It's a lot of fun. It's very social. So I wanted to know. I saw all these people having all this fun. So I went to a seminar where they, like, you know, you go early in the morning around 9:30 or 10 when there's not a lot of people. They section off a table for all the beginners. They go through every aspect of all the odds, how to bet, how to place bets, etc., all the guidelines, the do's and don'ts. And then they give you a little free money to play with, and you just go around and play. So I don't know if Pygal, did I say it right?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can
literally learn. It's the best game.
I mean, it might be the best game.
And
some people might say craps or blackjack is the best game.
Blackjack to me is the worst odds. As soon as they went away from the shoe, and it's the whatever.
Statistically, blackjack has the best odds.
That's what I thought, too.
When you're talking statistics, if you play pure strategy,
you know, like I got
if
you know how to.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm saying, but like once they went to the electronic, you know, shuffler where you can just keep getting the same cards over and over again instead of the shoe.
You can't count anymore, but statistically speaking, it's still the...
Yeah, you can't really count
cards. It has the least house advantage.
But I guess some casinos still only use like 1 to 2 decks. That might be some high rolling blackjack, but like a lot of times like 4 or 5 decks in that damn thing. So it's a very tough game. Very tough game for the Vols this weekend as well. 865-546-8200. We want to hear from you. We want to hear your thoughts. In the second hour, we will have Logan Quinton of FanRunRadio.com to preview the matchup between the Vols and the Tigers. Big show, man. We're going to get to some association action. Might even have some Vol football news to get to. But hey, we're going to have a lot of fun. It's Super Friday. All right, this is where I hit it.
I want a new stand.
All right, that's
harmony,
enough of that.
Harmony time on the Blitz.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good harmony. Might have a little trio here. All right, back on the Blitz here on Fan Run Radio. Let's go ahead and get to some of the stories of the day. One of the biggest stories coming yesterday when we got off the air. I'm sure you've heard about it by now if you haven't. College football playoff committee considering a proposal to expand to a 12-team format. That's right, a 12-team format. It's been a long time coming, and we might finally have it. So, the College Football Management Committee is going to discuss the matter more at a regular scheduled meeting on June 17th and 18th. From there, a formal recommendation is expected to be made to the College Football Playoff Board of Managers. And based on the events of yesterday, it seems like that should be a stamp in itself. An expanded bracket, though, would not hit until the 2023 season, according to most outlets. I'm reading right here from CBS Sports. It seems that it would be, what are we looking at? Your Power Five. So five Power Five, your top Power Five conferences would get in, and then one group of five, and the rest six at large.
I was confused by that because the six conference winners.
Yes.
But then I also kept seeing it said just because you win your conference doesn't guarantee you a spot.
No, so if you win your conference, it doesn't guarantee you a bye.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, because I was confused by some of the wording that I was seeing. So, yeah, when they say six conference winners, I guess it's the five Power Five and then the group of five.
Yeah, it goes on to say right here, ESPN has a much better laid out article. The proposal does not include guarantees for conference champions. Instead, it calls for the bracket to include the sixth highest ranked conference champions, plus the six highest ranked other teams as determined by the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. There would be no limit on the number of participants from a conference, and no league would qualify automatically.
Yeah, I think I saw, like, if this proposal was in effect last year, the SEC would have had four teams in the playoffs.
So in addition to providing an opportunity to a larger field and increasing participation, another issue is the sting of being left out, so that's why they're looking at the 12 teams. First off, on the surface, how do you guys feel about a 12-team playoff format? I'll start with you, GP3.
I'm kind of indifferent right now. I guess it's a wait-and-see thing. I'm all for more football, so I'm not going to complain about getting more football to watch. And now Tennessee might actually have a shot at making it in one day. But I'm just worried it's going to water down the regular season.
I think it makes the regular season more meaningful. I think this could potentially do fantastic things for college football. I'm a major proponent for it. First of all, group of five teams deserve a chance. It is insanely dumb to me that roughly 50% of Division I football that's made up by the group of five is playing in a league that they don't have a realistic chance to ever be able to even compete for a championship. Why even have them there? What's the point of the group of five existing if they can't win a championship? Cincinnati can go 12-0, and you're telling me they don't even deserve a chance? I mean, yeah, we know that they would be a pretty severe underdog against Alabama, against Ohio State, against Clemson, but they did everything that they could control to deserve a chance, in my opinion. And you know, you could say, well, you could play better teams, you could improve your resume. None of these schools are scheduling Cincinnati. None of these schools will schedule UCF, Boise State. They're not stupid, because that's a lose-lose.
Tennessee beat Butch Jones, Cincinnati.
I'm just saying, like, when...
It's very true.
When these teams are, like, at their best. Like, well, teams are not going to schedule.
Scheduling usually is so far out in advance, so you don't really...
Well, with the...
But, I mean, I understand
With smaller schools, like, the big games are scheduled further in advance, but like the smaller ones are scheduled not as far in advance.
My thing is, I agree. I do think Group of Five should have a shot, but couldn't you have expanded it to six teams and then given them one of the spots?
So you'd rather have seen it as six first.
Yeah, like I just think 12 might be a little too much.
I like it too. I'm agree with Charlie. It kind of has the division FCS feel with their end of the postseason tournament.
Don't they have 16 in the FCS?
They have a lot. I'm not sure Charlie would be better suited to tell you about that. I know he follows a lot of those teams. How many teams is it?
I think it's 16, eight on each side.
But I do like it. I think Charlie brings up a good point. Your UCFs of the past, your Boise States of past seasons, it does give them an opportunity. Under the proposal for the 12-team format, the four highest-ranked conference champions would be seeded 1 through 4 and receive a first-round bye. Teams 5 through 12 would play each other in the first round on the home field of the higher-ranked team.
I see. I do like that. Playing at their home field.
The thing about Tennessee was one of those teams higher ranked get a college football playoff game in Neyland Stadium. Ugh, injected into my veins. The quarterfinals and semifinals will be played in bowl games, and the national championship game would remain at a neutral site. So they're still going to bring in that bowl money. Not going to miss an opportunity to bring in those bowl sponsorships from the big corporations. And then your national championship game would still remain a neutral site. I think we all agree that that is the way it should be, right? Yeah. You don't think – nobody thinks that the higher-ranked team should get a home team for the college football playoff championship.
No.
And under this proposal, even if Notre Dame, for example, is the number one team in the country, they cannot receive a bye or be seeded higher than number five.
Join a conference.
Join a conference, Fighting Irish. The selection committee's top 25 is different from the seeding because the top four seeds go to the highest-ranked conference champions. So if you had your top 25 and top four not the highest-ranked conference champions, they would not get those top four seeds, putting a big emphasis on conference play. Do we like that?
Yeah.
Winning your conference championship.
I mean, it's a way to make those more meaningful, too.
And that also takes away like things that happened in years past where Alabama was able to make a college football playoff championship and they didn't play in the SEC championship game. Now, in this format, they would still make the playoffs with a 12-team format, but they would not be one of the top four teams. I think that is very big news. I like that a lot.
I mean, it makes to me the entire regular season more meaningful. Well, yeah, it makes the regular season more meaningful, too, because let's take Georgia, for example, last year. Georgia started old Rex Becks for a little bit, and they lost a couple games they didn't think they should have, and then they're done. They're eliminated from the playoffs, and everything they're playing for is over. I mean, mailed the season in.
Yeah.
You know, now, instead of having half the Power Five mailing their season in because, you know, they just have two losses and they're competing to play in the Outback Bowl at best, now, you know, you have teams playing still for the playoffs. And those games in late October, in November, they become so much more meaningful for all those teams. Because by the time usually that we hit November, we're like, oh, okay, well, it's going to be these three schools and maybe one more out of these three.
Okay,
cool. Now, everyone that's in the top 25 is going to feel like they have a chance still going into even the last couple weekends. Those games are going to be so much better because of that. And another thing that's been plaguing college football lately is the New Year's Six bowls and how they aren't any good anymore. You know, half the teams are having half their players opt out. And it just teams don't look motivated. Well, guess what? They're going to be a whole lot better again. You know, now number 8 Georgia, number 9 Cincinnati, they aren't just diddling around out there. Georgia's not benching half their players that are opted out. They're playing to advance to the next round of the playoffs. That gets a whole lot better, too.
Okay, so let me put it this way. Don't selfishly thinking like Tennessee, I could see this really hurting Tennessee because you're going to have teams like Georgia and Auburn, teams at fringe teams that are right there, get the benefit of the doubt from the playoff committee time and time again. A 3-loss Georgia team last year in a 10-game schedule would have been in the playoffs, whereas maybe a 2-loss smaller team wouldn't just miss out. I think this is going to affect the smaller, or I think it's going to benefit the bigger schools more so than it's going to help the smaller schools getting them in. Or not smaller schools, but like teams that...
Like Group of Five?
No, teams like Tennessee that haven't been good in a while and aren't going to get the benefit of the doubt from a team like Georgia, who's going to start preseason top five like they did last year. But then once they lose three or four games, they're still going to be a top 10 team because they started so high up.
Maybe.
I'm saying it's going to benefit the Blue Bloods more. They're going to get the benefit of the doubt
time and time again. I don't think any SEC school would get the benefit over any other SEC school because at the end of the day, they're SEC schools, though.
But it's not the SEC who's voting on the last spots in the playoff. It's the college football playoff.
I mean,
committee.
So you're just saying, like, what if Tennessee and Georgia both go 9-3 and you would think Georgia would get the benefit because they were ranked higher to start
the
season?
Hell, I could see Tennessee going 9-3 and Georgia going 8-4 and them being ranked above us.
Well, I couldn't.
You haven't been around long enough then. I absolutely could see that happening, especially if
If we lost to them and like maybe lost a non-conference game we shouldn't have and they have a better resume, then maybe they could be ranked higher. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, you control your own destiny. If you beat Georgia, then it doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about the benefit of the doubt.
Well, I would say I can see what you're saying, but also I'll slide a little bit more with Charlie on this one. Like, it's gonna be more about the proof is in the pudding. What did you do? Your record. I mean, it's not even going to be more so about, well, they played Notre Dame on the road. They should get the nod, even though they have four losses over the team with three losses because they're strength of schedule. It's going to be about where you're ranked at and you know where your record lies.
Let me try to rephrase it then. Okay. Let's say Georgia starts preseason number four. Tennessee starts preseason unranked. Okay. We both finish the season at 8-4. Who's getting that 12th spot, Georgia or Tennessee?
Well, who won head-to-head?
Doesn't matter.
Well, I think that would be exactly what would matter then.
Okay, so we beat Georgia, but Georgia beats Alabama. Alabama beats us. It's a three-way kind of where they all cancel each other out.
But we beat them head-to-head. So unless one of our other
They beat Alabama and they beat top-ranked Auburn along the way, whereas Georgia was our only.
I mean, I don't. This hypothetical is so contextual on the season itself and what the eight wins were and what the four losses were. That it's hard to just say either way.
I'm just saying, I think that the teams that start preseason higher, basically what I'm saying is they need to do away with the preseason rankings. Let teams play and then rank them. Because it sets a bias for the committee and for a lot of the fans who are watching, oh, this team's supposed to be really good. So when they lose two games, but then they come back and win one, you overvalue them.
I mean, to an extent, like, yeah, preseason rankings kind of suck and, you know, there's some bias there, but at the same time, if you don't have preseason rankings and everyone is just a football team, then how do you try to value wins?
Also very true. That's a good point. Hey, let's take a quick timeout. Come back. Let's finish the discussion on the other side. We need to hit a quick break. You listen to the Blitz right here on Fan Run Radio. Hey, back here on the Blitz, Chance, Charlie, and GP3 with you. We're talking a little bit about this new 12-team college football playoff proposal. Really getting into the gist of it all, having some great discussion on that. We'll go ahead and continue to pick that up where we left off. Bob Bowlesby, Big Ten commissioner, he says that, quote, the practical effect of this will be that with 4 or 5 weeks to go in the season, there will be 25 or 30 teams that have a legitimate claim and practical opportunity to participate. He went on to say that should make for an extraordinarily good October and November. I believe so. Like, this is, like Charlie said, this is going to put more emphasis on, you know, playing your schedule out.
And man. Alabama is never going to miss another playoff.
Man, 12 teams. They'll be in the playoff every single year until the day he dies.
There are also people. One of the main counter arguments too is now you're just going to get more blowouts in the playoffs. That's what we've been getting. You know, like, we already get blowouts in the playoffs in the first round. Like, we're getting the same matchups, the same teams, and we're getting these first round blowouts half the time. Mm-hmm. You're actually going to get really good first-round games now. Imagine Florida going on the road to Wisconsin to advance in the college football playoffs, or, you know, Notre Dame and USC, you know, in South Bend. Like, these are going to be really cool and fun games. And sure, odds are, yeah, you're probably going to end up with the same four teams you would have anyway. And you're probably going to end up with a couple blowouts when those four teams play some other teams. But you're also going to get other fun football. And you're going to get more meaningful regular season football.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are people out there that are like, oh, you know, if we're going to get the same four teams, then why even do it? Well, in that case, you know, why even play the regular season? Why even play sports? These group of five teams don't deserve a chance because they're not going to beat anybody. Probably not, but they might. You know, Leicester City won the Premier League 3 years ago at the craziest odds of all time. Oral Roberts made the Sweet 16 this year. UMBC beat Virginia. App State went on the road and beat Michigan. That's part of what makes sports so excellent, is when you give these teams at least a chance to do something special. You can't definitively say something will happen until it happens, even though, yeah, it probably will happen. I'm very, very excited about that, too. And furthermore, my last point about why this is a good thing. We're at a point where college football is more imbalanced than ever. The power lies within five teams.
Yep.
Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama,
Oklahoma.
Georgia, and Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Those, I mean, it lies within those five teams. And they're recruiting at a level that is better than everyone else by a long shot. Now, I'm not saying it's going to work. It probably won't. But at least it's an attempt to try to restore a little bit more balance in college football. Because when these teams are competing and getting to the playoffs and they're on that bigger stage, then, you know, that's a pretty big recruiting tool too. Because right now, if I'm a prospect, I'm one of the best in the country, there's absolutely no way I'm going anywhere but one of those five schools because I want to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Well, now, you know, I can think about, hey, I might go to Florida. I might go to Wisconsin. I might go to U.S., like, some of these other schools, because they'll have a chance to make the playoffs now. They'll have a chance to make a run, and maybe that can help you distribute things more evenly in college football and balance things out a little bit.
Good point, Charlie. Good point. Your first-round games will take place on campus sometime during the two-week period following your conference championship games.
That is going to be so cool. Like,
that is.
That is going to be awesome. That is my dream as a college football fan.
The quarterfinals will be played on January 1st or January 2nd when New Year's Day falls on a Sunday and on an adjacent day. Something to note, the model does allow for the possibility of teams competing in 17 games. But according to most, it's highly unlikely. A team seeded in the 5 to 12 position would have to play in a conference championship game, qualify for a first round game, and then run the table. So the route to get to 17 in the model isn't impossible, but there have been a lot of things built in to make that highly unlikely, and that's according to Jack Swarbrick, Notre Dame athletic director. He had that to say. So
that
you
could
play 17 games, though.
That's another one of the arguments against it.
But think about the story about a team that played 17 games.
Well, furthermore, I mean, that's an argument against it, right? And that was – We had this conversation two or three months ago on the show.
Professional football, right?
And Rick and Brandon were kind of making that point, like, hey, college football players playing 17 games, that's crazy. There are 16 games, but as a college football player, I mean, if you're at one of these top level programs, in all likelihood, your goal is to make it to the NFL. In the NFL, you're going to play 17 games, plus the preseason, plus mini camp, everything else. You know, is it really that hard? Is it really that big of a deal if you play 17 in college, play two extra games? You're going to do it at the next level if you get there anyway.
Yeah, so it's going to be a long process, and this agreement for the current format runs through the 2025-2026 season. So it's likely you wouldn't see anything before then, but maybe 2024 they might be able to slide in there. I love the idea. I do think it makes the regular season more meaningful. I do like the fact that it gives little guys a little bit of a chance. Like, would you guys have wanted to see UCF get a chance to play in that college football playoff when they were rolling under Scott Frost?
Yes, I did.
It made it pretty interesting.
I mean, they beat that Auburn team, and that Auburn team beat Alabama, didn't they?
Yeah, and then the note there is they didn't care, and that's why they beat them. Well, there's no more opportunity for that, and we would get to see the best 12 teams on the year. Had we had this in place this year, this would have been your 12 teams. Number one, Alabama. Number two seed, Ohio State. Three, Clemson. The four seed would be Texas A&M. They would have got the nod. Notre Dame in the five seed.
Well, actually, no. The fourth seed would have been Oklahoma.
Well, Oklahoma. I'm just reading. This is CBS, the top. I guess this is the finish.
Oh, yeah. That's teams. The top 12, but like the seeds itself because of the college football playoffs rules. That's so true. It actually would have been Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Ohio State 3, Oklahoma 4, then Notre Dame 5, A&M 6.
Followed by Florida, Georgia.
Then Florida, Cincinnati, yeah. Georgia, Iowa State, Indiana, and Coastal Carolina.
Yeah. Coastal Carolina, Jamie Chadwell, and them boys would have made it.
Imagine Coastal, like, so last year in the first round, these home games, they would have been awesome. Coastal Carolina at A&M, Indiana at, Coastal Carolina at Notre Dame, Indiana at A&M.
The same Indiana team we beat in a bowl game is now on the verge of making the college football playoff.
Well, hold up. That Indiana team was really good last year. That Indiana team.
Former Vol, Michael Penix Jr.
Like, that Indiana team almost made the playoffs on their own right.
I'm just saying, look at the direction both teams went after that bowl game.
Yeah, I mean, Indiana was probably last year a little worse than A&M with Michael Penix at quarterback. You got Iowa State at Florida, Georgia and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Didn't Georgia and Cincinnati play in their bowl game last year?
They did.
They match up? Yeah.
It was probably the best game of the bowl season outside of the playoffs.
I guess the only big knocks for those who are not Southeastern Conference fans would be that this gives the SEC more of an opportunity to have a stranglehold on the sport. And we're talking about at least four teams. I think that you would see with a 12-team format, SEC is getting in four teams every year. I don't think that's unattainable at all or unfathomable. I think that you could see the SEC year in, year out, get four teams. And if Tennessee does have success under Josh Heupel, that's good for us, what you said in the first segment. That gives the opportunity for Tennessee to make this thing. That's huge.
I just hate that teams like Alabama, Georgia, Florida.
Georgia's in it every year.
Yeah, they're going to – every year.
Florida's likely in it every year unless Tennessee were able to knock. But still, like – I mean, could you have five SEC teams?
Maybe a team like Kentucky could have snuck their way in.
I mean, you could possibly, on a good year in the SEC, get Florida, A&M, Georgia, Alabama, and then your last spot.
Auburn, LSU.
Auburn, LSU, or Tennessee, if Tennessee was rolling again. I mean, this is definitely a good thing for Vol fans on the gist of it, because we probably don't have a lot of faith in our program being one of the top four teams in the country in the next three or so years. So, I mean, but probably can be one of the top 12.
Imagine having to play Alabama twice in one season.
Please do not inject that into my veins. I would hate that.
Let's play them three times. Let's play them regular season, conference championship, and college football playoffs.
865-546-8208. Let's go ahead and take a quick time. I'll come back and finish hour number one. And on the other side, let's do that hockey. Welcome back to the Blitz. Wrapping up hour number one right here. And you hear the music, so you know it's time for Charlie Collier's NHL update.
Let's do that hockey, Chancellor.
Let's do that hockey.
I wish we had the soundbite of Chance the Rapper saying, "Let's do that hockey."
It's coming.
We got it.
It's coming. It's coming.
Only one game last night. The Avalanche and the Golden Knights.
My Golden Knights.
Chance, come on, man. They're
four games in a row, Big Chuck.
They're such an unlikable team.
I like their uniforms.
I mean, yeah, their uniforms are cool. Like, uniforms are cool. The crowd and, like, environment's good. And, like, Vegas is cool. But just the fact that the NHL.
You got some guys, some you want to punch in the face?
Not even that. It's frustrating that the NHL, when they changed their expansion draft rules, set them up to be able to be such a good team right away.
I was going
to
say. That,
that's why nobody likes them.
I've always thought that was kind of weird. Because, you know, like, when it happened in baseball, like, most of the time your expansion teams, and even in basketball, you don't really start off where you're a championship. Didn't they win it in their second year?
No, they made it to the final.
Made it to the finals. They ended up losing.
They were good their first year, too. And
no, it was their first year, I'm pretty sure.
The first year they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals, okay.
Because that was the year William Karlsson went off and scored 40 goals.
Yeah, it's like a team shouldn't be able to start up and immediately just be one of the best teams in hockey.
I will agree with you. Yeah, don't hate on my Golden Knights.
That's why people don't like
them. It took the Preds 10 years to make the playoffs after becoming an expansion team, just to make it. It took them 15 years to win a series.
Yeah, so like especially like Preds fans have a pretty big gripe with them.
The rules y'all got versus the rules we got.
Mm. Hate to see it, guys. Hate to see it.
And but the same thing's going to happen with Seattle.
Vegas wins 6-3 last night after going down 2-0 in that series against the best team in hockey. They win 4 in a row. Wildly impressive and a pretty major choke job from Colorado as well. Really disappointing to see a talented team have their season in this way. Yet again, they're starting to look like a team that can't get it done in the playoffs. That maybe, you know, all their skill and all their talent and everything else just isn't built for the playoffs.
And
I don't know.
McKinnon was pretty frustrated after the game during his post-game interview, talking about how he's been with Colorado for 9 years and hasn't won bleep yet.
Final four set. We kick it off Sunday. The Islanders travel to Tampa. Hey, you can go catch that game, Chance.
Yeah, I can.
3 p.m. Maybe. Maybe you can catch that game. It's at 3 p.m.
What? It's Sunday?
Sunday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I actually could. I'll land in Tampa at like 7:30 in the morning.
Well, the Islanders.
The tickets are going to be pretty expensive.
They might not be, honestly. Maybe.
I'm looking to that. I've never been to a playoff hockey match.
It would be pretty fun. Islanders in the Lightning, they play Sunday at 3. Islanders on the road. They're the visitors in that series. And then Monday, you get the Canadiens and the Golden Knights. That one at 9 o'clock. It's going to be a tough one. Golden Knights.
The Habs.
Golden Knights.
The Habs are strong.
Golden Knights ended the season with 82 points.
Did I get that right?
Canadiens ended the season with 59 points. So a pretty big discrepancy in their regular season performance. But nobody's as hot as the Canadiens right now. They're rolling. If you wanted to go Tuesday night, they also play Tuesday night in Tampa. 8 o'clock.
I might do that then. Maybe not Sunday because I might have a little jet lag and just getting, you know, settled in. But Tuesday night, you might be right. Go ahead and give me a ticket.
But we're getting down to the end of it. It's going to be fun.
I'm pretty excited. So, can we go ahead and say that my Golden Knights probably the favorite now? Or the Habs?
I think Tampa's got to be considered the favorite.
I would say, I don't know. The Golden Knights might still be the favorite because they have the easier matchup in this round. But the Lightning are playing really good hockey right now, and they won it last year.
They are doing that hockey. Hey, and so did we. Right here on the Blitz. Hour number two is coming up next. We got Logan Quinton of FanRunRadio.com joining us on the other side. Stay tuned right here on Fan Run Radio.